Matthew, the 11th chapter. We'll look now for just a few moments. Matthew chapter 11, looking toward the end of the passage of Scripture, in verse 25. This is Jesus speaking now, and he says these words. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Then notice, if you will, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's been several years ago, I can remember sitting with a woman in a counseling time, and she came to me and she used a phrase that I'd not heard before as far as a malady. And she goes, Pastor, I've been diagnosed with something called chronic fatigue syndrome. How many of you here have heard of that before? All right. When she said those words, I had to ask her, I said, what exactly are you speaking of, chronic fatigue syndrome? And she said, well, it's really a syndrome to where a person unexplainably is always tired and they're always weary. And I thought, I've discovered my problem. That's it. What do you take for that? There's nothing you can take for that. Now, I'm not making fun of it, so don't get offended. I'm sure it's there. But when I was listening to her describe it, I thought in my mind, it was going through in my mind, of name after name after name of people that I know and preach to week in and week out that could say, I also suffer from chronic fatigue syndrome. One constant that you find with many people in the culture in which we live is a perpetual sense of weariness. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in the way that they walk. You can see it in the way that they talk. And it really is, it's become a common problem. When you come to Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30, let me tell you, you're finding that he is speaking to all of humanity. Can I tell you this? Can I go a little further? It's not just a common problem in our day. It was also a common problem in the day of Jesus Christ. It's a common problem. So tonight, if you say, well, I don't understand, why am I the only one feeling so tired? Because you're not the only one feeling so tired. There are many around you that are feeling tired. I don't care how many hours you spend in the gym. I don't care how many pounds that you don't carry. It's overweight. There's many of us. It's just the way that we live life. Can I tell you this? I don't believe that that's the way that God intended for us to live life. It's a common problem, the fact that we get tired physically, we're tired mentally, the everyday struggle. Now, I'm speaking to that and saying that that's something you can't eliminate many times from your life. It's just a common way of life. To make ends meet, you've got to get after it physically and mentally. And I think, quite frankly, I think we live in a day and age that we're dangerously close to supporting an entire segment of our society that feel like that they don't have to do that in order to make ends meet. That's a dangerous place for a society to start to go. So it's a common place. If you're doing what you should, then there should be a tiredness just physically and mentally from taking care of your business. But I think it goes a little further than that. I think for many people, there's an emotional weariness. I think there's a weariness emotionally from dysfunctional relationships, from families that are falling apart, from financial crises that continue to happen. It just saps you and saps you to the point that, quite frankly, you can sleep all you want to. But when you get up, you're going to feel still the same tiredness. But I also see in a lot of people even something further than this. I think that there's some people that we just get tired spiritually. Living the Christian life can weary some people. The Scripture says not to be weary in well-doing, but it's sometimes we get weary simply in wanting to walk with our Savior, and yet sometimes we do this in the power of the flesh. So I want you to understand tonight that when Jesus Christ is speaking these words, he's probably in a Sunday night crowd like at Somerville Baptist Church. He's probably speaking to 90% of us this could apply to, this common problem of simply having a weariness about our life. But that's not where he leaves us. Wouldn't you hate to go to the doctor, and when you went to the doctor, they simply told you, well, yeah, you're tired, and you're always going to be tired, and that's the way your life is going to be, so cheer up. It only gets worse. Jesus Christ doesn't do that. I thank God that he doesn't do that. See, the hope that Jesus Christ gives. When Jesus Christ talks about abundant life, he says, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. We often think that he's speaking simply of heaven after we die. That when Jesus Christ came, oh, he's come to give us life, and he's come to give us life eternal. No, I want you to understand something about the everlasting life that Jesus Christ gives in salvation. This everlasting life is not just in its eternal value. There's also temporal value to the life that Jesus Christ gives. So when he comes and says, I've come to give you life and to give it more abundantly, he's not simply referring to heaven. He's referring to a way of life right now. And every Christian can say, boy, do I need a dose of that abundant life right now. It's a common problem for every single man. But then he gives a comforting promise. Look, if you will, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's making a promise to you here. He's making a commitment. Jesus Christ is putting his name on the line. He says, if you'll come to me, you come unto me, all ye that labor. And notice now, he gives two different ways of describing the weariness. He says, all ye that labor, and that's talking about the physical and emotional, mental labor that we go through in a typical way. But then he says the second part, and are heavy laden. There's some of us that simply are carrying burdens that no one can understand. It's hard for us to explain. They're just heavy burdens that are sitting on us. He says, bring them to me. He says, come unto me. All you that are weighted down with just the common everyday struggles of life, and also those that are weighted down with the unexplainable burdens that people carry that you can't explain to anyone around you. He says, come unto me. And here's his word. Here's his promise to you. And I will give you rest. We're in election season. In case you hadn't figured it out, I think we've watched some 40-plus Republican debates at this point. If you listen to these guys talk, they'll absolutely promise you anything. If they can get a vote, man, I'll give you this and I'll give you that, and I promise it's going to get better, and hope and change and the future and everything looks rosy if you just follow my, you know, 999 or 8181 plan or whatever number you want to throw in there. I have the plan that's going to, I can promise you, it's going to make your life worth living. Well, let me tell you something. There's no politician that I've ever met in my life that has come through on every one of his promises. They give promises in order to get votes. I'm not saying they're intentionally lying. I think they probably have great intentions. But I've never met a politician that's been able to come through. I've never met a doctor that's able to come through on all his promises. Except, if you don't stop, you're going to die. Well, that's a pretty 100% promise that he's given you. We're all going to die of something. There's not one man that I've ever met in my life that I could say that his promises have come true every single time, even though he's tried to keep with integrity every promise he's ever made. But I can tell you something. When it comes to your Savior, when it comes to my Christ, his promises he will keep. And he says to you, weary one, he says to you, the one that's heavy laden, he says to you that look at your life now, and this is what you say. I'm tired from the things that I'm doing. The way that my life is being lived, it wearies me. And as I look at the future, I don't see anything about that ever changing. And that very thought in itself only brings another level of weariness that I'm already experiencing in my everyday struggles. He says, you, I'm talking to you, come unto me. Come. And I will give you rest. The common problem we all experience, he gives a great promise here. He says, if you'll take me serious, I'll be serious about your issue. Third and lastly, he gives a challenging prescription. It's a strange thing that he says here. Whenever you go to a doctor and you're to say, man, I'm just so weary and I'm tired and I just can't get over it. Typically, that doctor, somewhere in that process, he may prescribe some type of medicine. He may prescribe several other things, some counseling. But one of the things you can almost guarantee he's going to prescribe is you need to get yourself away from your normal responsibilities. You just need to take a vacation and rest a while. You just need to chill out for a while. Well, I think that makes sense. Jesus Christ said that even he, at some point in his ministry, had to come apart and rest a while. Dan Savner said, you either come apart or and rest a while or you'll come apart. It certainly is principle taught in Scripture, this issue of the sabbatical rest, the Sabbath rest. It's a principle taught both by creation and then now in the New Testament, just in a simple Calvary rest that we experience. But let me go a little further with this. When you come here, I want you to notice his prescription. It's almost, what? You tell me to come unto you. I'm weary, I'm tired with labor, I'm heavy laden with the burdens of life, and this is what you're going to tell me to do? Notice what he says. He says, come unto me, verse 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now notice the next few words. Take my yoke upon you. Now, Lord, I'm going to tell you that doesn't make sense. So, Lord, what you're telling me is all these things that I'm doing, all that I'm going through, and I feel like I need to escape, and I feel like I'm in prison, I feel like I'm trapped, and I need to get away. And now you're telling me that there's a new task that you need me to do? There's another job that you're going to give me with all that I've got going on, and now I've got to take your yoke upon me as well, and somehow that's going to give me rest? Yes. See, I think Christ's words are teaching us the real reason that we experience so much fatigue, so much frustration. And then he's also teaching us about the nature of true rest in the human heart and mind. The problem with our lives is not that we have to go to work. I think that a man ought to work. I think it's a part of man. He needs to do it. I think there's something wrong when a man's not willing to work. I didn't say not able, but not willing to work. We have to serve some kind of boss. We have to work for some kind of job. I get that. The issue is who we choose to work for and whom we choose to serve while we're working. That's the real key Christ is trying to say here. So when he says, take my yoke upon you, he's saying, look, you need to understand who you're serving. Well, how can that possibly bring rest? How can that make my burden any easier? The kind of rest Jesus Christ offers, it's not relief from everyday tasks. Those are necessary. We've got to get through the day. It's not freedom from the trials of life. All of us are going to have to walk through certain valleys, some more than others, but we're all going to have to walk through valleys of life. The disciples that followed him in the early days, he told them they were going to have to work in order to eat. He told them that they were going to have to face, be like sheep among wolves. He never pulled any punches on them. So what's he talking about? Well, the kind of rest that Jesus Christ is talking about is something that the world can never give. You can't do a timeshare and get the kind of rest he's talking about. You can't go to some resort in some exotic location on this globe and find the rest that he's speaking of. The rest that he's talking about in this passage of Scripture is it's a peace of mind. It's a place that you go to in your own spirit. It's a calmness. It's a serenity that's found inside a believer's heart that can only be found in the heart of one who knows that what he's doing, the way that he's going about his day, is dead center in the will of God for his life. There's no replacement for that. There's going to be some here to say, well, Pastor, I know that I'm in the will of God, but I'm still feeling this weariness. I'm still feeling this tiredness. My friend, can I tell you something? If you're right in the center of the will of God, then can I encourage you to understand that it's not up to you to accomplish what's being accomplished in your life. When I get myself overwhelmed, and I look back, what is causing this overwhelming feeling? What is causing this tenseness, this anxiety, this anxiousness that, quite frankly, I'm going to be transparent, I go through very often? Where is this coming from? I can tell you almost without fail that as I analyze how I got to that place in my life, it's from an attitude that says that what happens around me, what happens through me, is going to be by me. I'm going to have to produce. I'm going to have to put it out there. I'm going to have to work it. I'm going to have to manipulate. I'm going to have to drive others and myself to get it done. I'm responsible for the outcome of this deal, and I've got to do it. Now, let me tell you something. That's exactly. You want to go to a conference. You want to go to some inspirational seminar. Somewhere in that, that's exactly what they're going to tell you. And that is exactly opposite of what the Word of God says to you and me as believers. The Word of God says it very clearly. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, it's not about you and me. It's not about us in producing. And so, therefore, it's not about you and me in getting the reward for the production. Whenever you and I insert ourselves into this deal, our perceptions, what are people thinking about me? I got to make sure I don't offend people. What are they going to say about me? How is this going to look? When that's driving you, as opposed, is this pleasing to God or not? When you get away from that and it becomes about people, and I'm talking not just yourself, even other people. When anything takes the place of your driving force of your life being to glorify God, then I can tell you, the tank's going to hit empty very quickly. When he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Make your life about serving me. Make it about glorifying me. Make it about living through me and me living through you. Because he continues on this thought. He says further, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I think when you talk to people that are going through this weariness in life, this attitude of weariness, you can come to very quickly the conclusion, this is not about physical weariness, is it? No, because I've slept. In fact, I find myself sleeping every time I get the chance. I'll sleep in until 10:30 and 11 o'clock in the morning now. Even when I sleep a lot, I still wake up. Understand, it's not about physical rest. It's something much deeper than that. It's a rest for your soul. My friend, you're not going to find rest for your soul at Disney World or Cozumel or some cabin in Gatlinburg. You're going to find rest for your soul by taking the yoke of Jesus Christ from yourself and saying, Lord, this is not about me. It's not about my production. It's not about my goals. It's not about my ambition. It's not about my drive. This is about you. So, Father, when I take my yoke, your yoke upon me, I'll hoe whatever row you choose for me to work. I'll follow whatever line, and I'll go as long as you desire me to go, because, Lord, I trust you more than I trust my flesh. And when you do that, my friend, you go to bed at night looking back at your day, and you say these words, Lord, I did it your way. I did it for you. And most importantly, I did it by you, through you. People can wear all kinds of yokes, slaves to ambition, materialism, greed, worry, raising children. We can wear all kinds of yokes. Christ invites you now to take on his yoke. Lord, tonight I'm coming to you. Lord, I'm so weary and I'm so tired. I could not even think of taking on another yoke. He's not asking you to take on another one. He's asking you to drop the ones that are weighting you down and take on His and say, Lord, my life's going to be all about You. I want to live right in the center of Your will. So if it doesn't get done, I don't change the world. That's fine. Lord, I'm doing what You've called me to do. And that's all I need to be concerned with. Where are You tonight? I got to tell you, I'm looking at a lot of eyes that are looking back at me. We're tired. Tonight, why don't you come to Him and just simply say, Lord, I don't know all that this means. And apparently, Lord, there's a lot of this that I have to learn from You. But Lord, help me to be willing to start that process of learning. Learning what it is to be meek and lowly in spirit. And to find rest for my soul by taking on Your yoke. Making it about You. Let's rest. Let's stand together tonight.